Do you think that if a person did what was really right and good, that he would ever be opposed? The ways of God are by no means popular with men. Strange as it is, strange as it seems, although God does that which is good for people and would lead them in the way of life and of liberty and of happiness, yet the ways of God are really not acceptable to the human heart. Because a thing is right and good does not by any means assure its approval. Doesn't mean people are going to support it. A man or a woman can do what is the good thing, the right thing, and yet be opposed. You could even be abused just when you're doing the right thing. Of course, we oftentimes say and readily say that all men are sinners. But you know, it's surprising how we often don't count on that. We say in one breath that all men are sinners, and we turn around and expect all men to act right. We could have in mind that if all men are sinners, there are going to be things they do that are wrong, and this is one of them. The Scripture tells us that they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, I know that sometimes it is very grievous to bear rejection when you have worked to help people, but this can come. And in the 15th chapter of John, which is ahead of where we are now, you'll find in verses 18 to 22, this very thing is brought out. The Lord Jesus, in speaking to his own disciples, put it this way: if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his master, than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. This is the way the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about this. The opposition to people who are doing the right thing and the good thing is often very sly and cunning. Such opposition will take advantage of any chance to embarrass the person who is doing right and to harass the man who is doing good. Now, we can study what happened here and this incident with reference to the healing of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. We are studying in the Gospel according to John in chapter 5. And if you open that, your Bible and the Gospel of John chapter 5, and look at verse 10, you will notice from verse 10 to 16 the account of how the people reacted to what the Lord Jesus had done. You'll remember how the Lord Jesus came to where a crowd of needy people, lame and sick people, were waiting for the troubling of the water, with the understanding that the first one that got in when the water's troubled would be healed. And a certain man had been there for a long time, and the Lord Jesus went to him, as you know, and asked him whether he wanted to be healed, and the man said he didn't have anyone to help him, and the Lord said that he should be healed, and he was, and told him to take his bed and walk, which he did. Now we come to what happened. And we see in verse 10 that instead of the Jews rejoicing in the healing of this man, they actually criticized the deed as irregular. You see, the Lord Jesus demonstrated power far beyond the ordinary natural power, and it naturally attracted attention to himself. And the people were attracted to the Lord Jesus by multitudes. The action of Jesus of Nazareth was not the usual normal routine, and he actually seemed to ignore the rules, because in this case he didn't remember he did what he did on the Sabbath day. This made him a threat, so far as the Jews were concerned. He was a threat in his ability. He could do more than they could do. He was a threat in his popularity. More people came to him than came to the Jews. And he was a threat in his example, because he actually did things that the Jews didn't approve, which was to do what he had to do on the Sabbath day, if that's when it came up. And so instead of rejoicing in his healing in verse 10, they actually criticized the deed as irregular. Now, in verse 11, he answered. The Jews spoke to the man, you know, that had been cured, and asked and said to him, "It's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. You shouldn't be walking around carrying your bed, because this is work, and you're not working the Sabbath day." So the man answered them in verse 11, "And he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." He had been directed to do this by the one who healed him, and he had the feeling the one who healed him had authority enough to let him do it. Now in verses 12 and 13, they talked to him further. Then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. So this lame man, the man that had been lame, realized that he didn't even know the name of the person who had helped him. In verse 14, we find that the Lord Jesus looked him up again. He evidently stayed around there, probably was in the temple. And afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." So the Lord Jesus revealed himself to the man and then gave him further instruction and intimated to him, "You were blessed by God. You were blessed by the straight action of God. Now be very thankful to God for it and act right so that God can be pleased. Don't do anything that would be contrary to the will of God." Now in verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole, which of course attracted attention again to the Lord. And in verse 16, the Jews definitely opposed and threatened his life, ostensibly because he had broken the Sabbath law. This is the way the story goes, and this is the thing that brings to our mind something that is so very, very strange. I think we could say that it is what we sometimes call ironical. It's a strange irony that the most implacable and dangerous enemies for the Lord Jesus Christ were among religious people who resented anything that did not defer to them. And this is a circumstance that many of us will face. And you will face it in the church. You just can't keep human nature out of your local congregational activities and situations. People in the church can become so concerned about their personal position. They want to be looked up to. They want to be rated as being leaders of one sort and another. And so they keep up a certain way of doing things and have a certain routine of doing things. Now, it might be that someone else might be called on to do something in the Lord's work, and the other person might do it in a different way, and this draws a lot of criticism. This is actually what happened there at the time with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this can happen with reference to you and to me in our own day and time. You may, for example, in your particular community, you make it a point, for instance, to go over and bring a certain person to Sunday school and church. And you put yourself out inviting those people to come to Sunday school or church. You'd think everybody would be glad about that. You'd think everybody certainly would feel wonderful to think that you'd got those people started coming to church. Only to find out that there will be some who belong to some other denomination and they'll criticize you and say, "That man belongs to our denomination. You should have left him alone." And you could very well say, "Well, no one went to see him. Nobody asked him to come to church. Nobody was bringing him the word of the Lord. He was all alone." And they'll say, "But he was our man. He should have been our man." And they'll criticize you for it. Or it could be something like this. We'll say that you take time out to go around to a neighbor and to bring that neighbor's family to Sunday school. So you leave home a little early and drive over to pick up the neighbor's children to bring them to Sunday school. Certainly people ought to be glad about that. Wouldn't you be? Wouldn't everybody be? And yet you may find that there will be people criticize you because you leave home too soon. There could be people criticize you because you drive too far. You waste too much gasoline going around picking people up. And of course, when you stop to think about it, you say to yourself, "Well, that isn't fair, it isn't right," and that's the way it is. But still you might be criticized for it. And the same thing would be true, for instance, here's a Sunday school teacher. And this Sunday school teacher is teaching the gospel and has children in her Sunday school class who come to know the Lord. So here's a boy, we'll say 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, whatever the case may be, and he wants to make a public profession of faith. He wants to openly say to the whole world that he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he responds to the invitation, and he is ready to come forward. Well, it turns out that he's got a family that's not active in church, a family that doesn't want to especially do anything about church, They didn't mind him coming to Sunday school, but they didn't want him to join. They didn't want him to be committed. And if you lead the boy along and the boy then is ready to make his profession of faith and ready to join the church and wants to go ahead and do that, you may have very stiff opposition from his family who will say, well, we didn't want him to join. And of course, you'd say, well, he was to make an open profession of his faith. His soul is at stake. And they'll say, he shouldn't have done it unless we were there. He shouldn't have done it in your church. He shouldn't have done it on Sunday morning. He shouldn't have done it unless we'd talked it over with him. Any number of various reasons in which they can criticize you for what happened, when actually, deep down underneath, what's really the matter is, they were not in favor of it. It just wasn't what they wanted to do. I could use many other illustrations. There will be people think you shouldn't take time to read the Bible. You could be doing work while that's going on. There'll be people who think you haven't got time to lead in prayer. You ought to be up there and busy working at things while you're living along as you do. So that actually, so far as we are concerned, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Remember, the Lord Jesus actually went out here and healed a man and was actually criticized because he did it at a time and in a way that they thought that he shouldn't do it. This isn't the last of it. We're going to hear more of it as we go along. Our God and Heavenly Father, keep us faithful to Thee in the things that we do, and encourage us to do Thy will and to be humble when people do not understand or actually openly criticize what we're doing. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.